Welcome to this episode of Games UX. Today we're going to be talking about the Switch. Last year we had an episode on the UI of the Switch that was based off an article I wrote criticizing and reflecting on some of the decisions that were made in the UI, which is remarkably simple for a game user interface these days. But today we're going to dive a lot deeper, which is the total experience of owning a Switch and what it means in our lives and how it relates to how we play games. So let's get started. So today's co-hosts are Nathan and Steven. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Nathan. I have a Switch and I love it.
I'm Steven. I also have a Switch and also love it.
And I'm Charlie and I have a Switch and I love it. So this is not going to be biased or anything like that.
So one of my big reasons for wanting to do this episode was just kind of contemplating and reflecting on the Switch's life so far and how big it's getting. And by big, I don't just mean popular. I mean like the level of games it's getting. One of the biggest examples I can just go straight to is Doom 2016 came out for Switch, which was a gigantic surprise to everybody. Because that would have been a game that I think anybody would have said, no way, that's never going to be on Switch. The Switch can't handle a game like Doom. Get out of here, you're crazy. And id Software did it. They ported Doom to Switch. It runs at 30 FPS, but otherwise still looks fantastic. And I feel like that kind of opened everybody's eyes up to like, the Switch can be a console just like any other console, only it can go anywhere. The Switch can play any of the games we're used to playing, but you're not going to be locked down to your TV or your computer desk anymore. And I feel like that's a really big game changer.
Yeah, to me, Fortnite, when it came out on Switch, was a similar experience. I know it was out on iOS at the time and eventually came out on Android. But for some reason, seeing Fortnite on Switch, which was an online multiplayer battle royale style game, it just seemed like, is this going to work? And it did work. And that was another one of those moments where I was like, all right, this thing is like in the ring with the big boys. It's not the same thing as a PlayStation or Xbox One, but it is enough of that same thing that its other advantages put it into like a new category, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like the thing that I've been grappling with the Switch is that it's like having been a PC gamer for so long and not owning a console since the PS2, but realizing like, oh man, like now that I'm an adult and have a busy life and I can pick up a game, press the power button and play 15 minutes as I'm waiting for my coffee in the morning and like play a game that I would normally have to boot up my PC or turn on a TV and boot up a console and just play around with it real quick and then put it back is nuts.
Yeah, the save state and instant refresh too is like critical to that, right? Like as you can, this one was most apparent to me when I played Zelda. It was like, I would just put the thing to sleep. And then when I picked it up, I'd like wake it up and it was just going like no delay essentially at all, reasonably speaking or relatively speaking. I would just be able to start going. There was no boot up time. Like a PS4, when you turn that thing on, it's like, hello, wait for a while. Like you're not going to be playing for like a few minutes. So get comfortable. The Switch is just, you pick it up and you are playing immediately.
Yeah. I never really thought about that before, but you're right. There is way less barrier to entry for just playing a game. And this is definitely a thing I struggle with for like console and PC single player games, at least, is that it feels like a commitment to sit down with a console game or any other, you know, large single player game, because usually I feel like, you know, I need to reserve like an hour of my time at least or it's not worth it. And you have to go through the process, like Steven said, like turning on your TV, like Charlie said, letting the console boot up, even for the consoles that have like, you know, a sleep mode, like it still takes several seconds before you can even interact with anything. And then even if the game is in sleep and suspended, it's still not immediate. And yeah, the Switch is like, it's freaking instant. And it runs on a battery, which makes it even crazier. but yeah, almost all of the barrier to entry is gone with the Switch. Like you really can, even for a game, a big game like Zelda, you can just bite off pieces at a time. time, you know, like Steven said, in the morning, 15 minutes, like I'll just pick up my Switch real quick and, you know, it's in suspend mode, so I can just get right into the game and then be on my way. And again, this with games that traditionally we grew up just feeling like, oh, this will never be mobile. You know, like there was the mobile handhelds, like the Game Boy and the DS and the PSP, and our phones. And it was always like, those aren't going to play the same games that we play on consoles and PC. And we just have to accept that they're going to play different games. And suddenly that's not the case anymore.
Yeah,
at all.
And I think that that's like the huge thing that I'm impressed with, is that it was always, you know, like to be able to play something like Zelda or like Doom or any big game like that is still shocking, that I can play that from bed or get up and then move to the couch on a weekend or take it, you know, out of town if I'm traveling and like have that in my hands and available, when like I grew up with like, you know, the oldest Game Boy and like Metroid 2. Like those games were always different. And I think the other thing that's nuts is now we're seeing that like it's not just those games, like it's not just big games even. It's like you can get the indie type games that you wouldn't think would even be on a console that Nintendo would have. Like it would have been maybe a, you know, maybe something for like an you know, the Nintendo eStore or like Xbox Indie Arcade or whatever, but like you can get games like Stardew Valley or anything like that, and it's just, you can play it mobile, and that's nuts. Like having that spectrum of games available is fantastic.
So yeah, you can play the same games that you would on console that you can on the Switch in bed, but I do find that the games that I'm playing on Switch are ones that I wouldn't necessarily play on console, right? Like when I think of my PS4, I want to be playing the Destiny on that. I want to be playing like Overwatch on that. But when I think of my Switch, I think about experiences I've had with Celeste, games that somehow were, I played Picross on my Switch. Like I played Picross for a long time. I just actually got the sequel this week. I don't think I would have played this game any other way, but because it's available on Switch and it feels so good, I am actually exploring games outside of my normal realm of what I would be playing.
Yeah, I'm experiencing the exact same thing. I just the other day bought Hollow Knight for the Switch, and the reason why I bought it was because I was buying it for Switch. I never would have bought that game on PC or any console. Same thing with a game called Enter the Gungeon. I bought a few weeks ago. Only reason I bought that game was because I was buying it for Switch. And I'm not sure exactly why it feels so much more compelling to buy these more indie-like games on the Switch than it does on my PC, where they would, you know, run better, or on a console. But yeah, something about the Switch, it's just, I guess just the idea of I can take it anywhere. I don't know, but I'm not the only one. I'm spending money that I would have never spent before on the Switch. Yeah. Like Nintendo is getting me to buy games that I would have never bought just because the Switch is so great.
I was going to say, I've had almost the like opposite problem as Nathan. Like I think, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember I had bought Hollow Knight right after it came out. I randomly spotted it on the Steam store. I was like, hey, this is right up my alley. I'm going to get it on my PC. And then not like a week later, I found out it was coming to the Switch eventually. And even though I played it ton on PC, loved it, in the back of my mind, I was always like, but I could have been playing it on my Switch in a couple months. And I think even though the Switch is releasing things later, like it is just such a different experience being able to play it in that format as opposed to at a desk or, you know, on a laptop or something like that. And I think that that's probably the one thing I would say is like my like concern with Switch is having that conundrum of like, I only want to buy this game once. Do I want to buy it on PC or do I want to buy it in a few months Switch, probably enjoy it more, but pay what I would have paid back when it came out on PC. And it's like weighing those options are a little bit stressful, but I also just like, I see so many games coming out for Switch that it's like, you know what? I always have options. Even if I have to wait a few months to play that game I wanted to play or I do still want to play, like there's other stuff to fill that time.
Given that the Switch is a mobile console and given that cell phones and tablets have really come into their own over the last several console cycles as a platform for gaming, for mobile gaming, and those are refreshed on a yearly basis, so they're always getting better hardware, and not everyone upgrades every year, but every 2 to 3 years usually everyone's getting a newer, better piece piece of mobile hardware that games are able to take advantage of. And so with that, would it make sense for the Switch to be on somewhat of a phone-like revision cycle where we get a new Switch and it's still the Switch, like nothing about it really changes significantly. The hardware is up-spec'd, but it's still compatible with prior games. It's just that new games can take advantage of a better hardware. Would it make sense to do that for the Switch? Would that type of revision model make sense? And would either of you personally buy a new Switch every 2 to 3 years, if that were the case?
Nintendo kind of did this with the DS, right? Like, the DS got better over time through the different versions. And I can only imagine that the software that's being written for Switch right now is far more capable of scaling up, because it is running on PCs in a lot of cases, right? Like, most of these games are running other places with potentially higher resolution, potentially higher frame rates, et cetera, more rendering. So my guess is, yes, it would make a lot of sense for them to allow better hardware to occur over time when they could get the price to the level that they wanted to, because the games will scale pretty naturally, is my guess, compared to like old school systems where the software is written specifically for that system and totally optimized for that hardware under the expectation it's going to stay that way for like 8 years or something.
Steven, how about you?
Yeah, I'm torn on it because, I mean, I'm the type of person that doesn't really like get rid of my hardware unless it needs to be replaced. And so like up until a month ago, I was still rocking an iPhone 5S basically until the glass completely came off. And yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where like as long as it stayed backwards compatible, like I wouldn't lose the things like the games that I've purchased, or, you know, I could transfer my saves kind of like you're able to do with a phone, as long as the developer keeps things updated or doesn't, you know, go the inverse. And like, if I'm using a Switch that's 6 years old and an update comes out for a game and basic locks it, like, because I'm not on the most up-to-date iOS, or I guess OS in this case, like that would be my concern with it, is making sure that like people aren't like basically that they can still play the games they have. But at the same time, it would be really cool to see that development of, you know, in 4 years or 3 years, there's a new Switch with better hardware and you can get better games. And yeah, maybe you get Doom running at 60 frames per second, or, you know, a bigger game, like, I don't know, something that is kind of what we play a lot of single player on PC, like seeing that sort of thing available on a platform that can be on a TV or in your hands is kind of nuts. And yeah, I think it would be cool to see that happen, but yeah, I would just be a little bit concerned about that, like backwards compatibility and kind of long-term cycle. Whereas like in consoles currently, a lot of times it's, you know, a new one comes out, maybe there's some backwards compatibility, but for the most part, everybody's switching to that new one. Like there is no, it's a total new generation. So it's almost getting rid of that generational aspect of like hardware development and in gaming.
That being said, yeah, the cost of doing this is, I think in the show notes, Nathan, you wrote like, oh yeah, a cell phone costs a lot of money. Like, would people be willing to buy this thing for like what is like iterative updates? And my guess is it's going to be much less acceptable to, yeah, just buy something new. Like kind of what Steven's saying is like with my cell phone, it's like I'm using this thing for what I consider utility, and the Switch is what I'm using for fun. And I really don't want to update the fun thing, like unless I have to, because I'm trying to like get the most fun out of it for the value in a way that it feels more like painful to like pump extra money. I mean, that's like, I have a PlayStation 4. I don't want a PlayStation 4 Pro. That's what it's called, right? Because I don't like, that seems like it's just a little bit of value more. But if I'm going to play a PlayStation 4 games, I already bought the machine to do that. And I don't want to buy like another machine that does that. I could imagine the Switch being like that too. The way they did it with the DS was they were like, the screen's a lot bigger now, right? Or like, here's a different form factor. That's sort of the way that they were thinking about those upgrades. They didn't just sell it on the enhancements to the processor. And I think that they probably have to do something like that with the Switch. I could imagine the Switch could go like Switch Mini or like Switch like big screen or something. I don't know what they would be, but I imagine that they would probably have to tie into a little more physical value to the device changing, maybe like a huge battery or something. I don't know what they would do, but I think to get people to really upgrade the machine, I think they'd have to have enough time between generations and also like real obvious value. Because my guess is that people just wouldn't do it here or there if they did like a constant update cycle with iterative updates.
So here was my thinking on this. And yeah, your point, well, both of your points about people not wanting to upgrade an entertainment device versus a utilitarian device, as you described it, 100%. I agree. they are different devices. They're used for different purposes. But I'm a little worried about the Switch. I feel like we're in like the sweet spot for the Switch right now, where its hardware is just barely capable to play a game, for example, like Doom. A new game, well, new-ish. You know, it's a couple years old now, but still a very, very high-end game. And I'm worried that even just a year from now or 2 years from now, certainly, that's going to be it. Like, we're just not going to get new AAA games on the Switch anymore unless the development team has the time and resources to essentially make a separate version of the game, like a very scaled down version of the game. And that is what killed the Wii and the Wii U. It was fine whenever those systems were fine when they came out. They had just new enough hardware to make ports from more powerful systems viable. But within a couple of years, that was it. It was all she wrote. And those systems lost almost all third-party support. And I really don't want that to happen with the Switch. And obviously, it's not going to happen with the indie games that we described, which are kind of maybe even the biggest draw to the Switch right now. So maybe this is like a non-issue completely. But I also kind of feel like a three-ish year revision cycle would make a lot of sense for the Switch, because people wouldn't necessarily have to upgrade, right? They could continue to hold on to their current Switch, and like it would still keep getting Nintendo games, obviously, and plenty of third-party games from indie developers and just any game that isn't like really pushing hardware to its limits, modern hardware. And then the new Switch could come out, and it could be, you know, early adopters, people who want the latest and greatest are going to get on it. People who didn't buy the Switch could have a version of the Switch to jump to that they know isn't going to get replaced anytime soon. And then the people who were early adopters of the first Switch who don't want to switch over, like, they're fine. They can just hang out and play more games for another year or two. And then, you know, down the road, they can upgrade. And kind of the way like cell phones kind of work today, like most people don't buy a new phone every year. Like I said, they wait a couple of years and then they do an upgrade after, you know, another device or two has come out. I don't know. I just thought this was kind of like a fun, you know, it's not a thing that I've seen anybody talk about before. And the idea occurred to me, and I thought it was a really interesting idea that, you know, maybe now that we're entering into what is potentially a more mobile-centric time in the game industry, that we'll start seeing hardware revision more and more frequently in order to keep up with not just the times, but also the encroachment of cell phones into the games market.
Okay, you gave me three thoughts. number one, maybe these two are combined. One and two. Here we go. Nintendo did this before. I mean, people are still playing DS right now, and it is significantly underpowered, right? But and it can't run like a big game, but like Metroid came out on it this year, and that's like, you know, a game that bit well on the system. So I see your point. Like, the big games will get like in a weird predicament where they can't run even close to the quality that they would on the Switch over the course of time if it stays where it's at. But there are three points here. Point number two is Nintendo did this also with the original Game Boy. If you think about it, they did this weird thing where the original Game Boy was monochromatic, and it slowly evolved into being a color device, right? And then it got like smaller stuff. Like, they had a long life cycle with the original Game Boy, and they did it by doing these like updates along the way. So it seems like they're into doing this on mobile throughout history, being the DS and Game Boy as the other two examples. Oh, I guess they did with the DS too. I mean, DS was 2D and it became 3D, right? So and then finally, I think the thing that's different now as opposed to maybe 5 years ago or more is that a lot of the games that we're seeing were made in Unity and Unreal Engine. And that is super, I think that is a big difference, because both of those engines are ridiculously good at scaling a game, right? They're both like Unreal is showing this most impressively with Fortnite now, where it runs like literally on anything. But I'm guessing that they, both of those companies, like Epic and Unity, understand like, wow, this is a really important time to have a game to be able to scale to whatever device or interface you want to run it on. So I think that the Nintendo will, the Switch will undoubtedly benefit from that right now, because the games are going to become more and more optimized to run on lower quality hardware. And so, yeah, I'm just guessing it's going to happen.
And I think that I was going to say that I think really feeds into two things I was kind of thinking as you guys were talking. Is that, like, one, Charlie, like, you bring up a great point. Like, my concern around like updating the Switch would back to compatibility, which was always my concern. Like, old other consoles was like, oh, well, if I buy a new PlayStation, am I going to be able to play my PlayStation games or whatever? And I think that what helped Nintendo do that was like media format was the same for a lot of those games. And that was still when they were on physical. Like, with my Switch, I have not purchased a cartridge yet. Everything I've gotten has been downloaded. And I think that the reason that kind of helps like relieve my concern around that is that in video games, games as a whole, and like even considering like mobile technology and hardware as that's kind of getting closer to computer, like desktop computers as well, is like we're basically seeing consoles having reached a point where like the graphics and quality that they can produce, while not up to par with like a top tier PC, is still pretty darn acceptable. And like I think that that's one of the crazy things that's helping, going to help a lot of like console gaming in general, is that almost convergence where like your home computer and your gaming console, while different in a lot of ways, are a lot more similar than used to be. And like I think that that's really, and I think that in that light, and with the idea that you know, knowing that Unreal Unity be used to build a lot more games that are adaptable across different systems and stuff, like I think that that just makes gaming overall a lot cooler. And I'm really happy to see, especially with Switch, like bringing able to bring people in who are into like mobile gaming, and that's what they do currently. Like they didn't have a Nintendo growing, or they didn't have a Sega, and they're just getting into what would be considered like casual games. Like they can go into the Switch and not have it feel like, have it feel natural to them. And that's fantastic, because I can't even tell you how many people like haven't touched a system that since they were like 10, and I show them the Switch and they're like, this is great, how much does it cost, where can I buy it? And like it's yeah, it's really,
you just gave me an idea in there, which I doubt Nintendo would ever do, but this is like a no compromise solution for people like us. And it seems like there's a decent amount of us who have like a PC and a Switch and are doing most of our gaming on those two devices. Imagine if Nintendo created a store on PC, which was the equivalent to like Steam, but when you bought your games through the store, they were available on Switch or on your PC, right? So like all of a sudden I don't have to like make that one debate, like do I get it on PC or on Switch? It's just like I'm buying my stuff through Nintendo, and because of that I have access to it on the devices that I game. That would be fucking awesome. I think
that would be nuts. I mean, I would uninstall Steam at that point.
Definitely no, not happening, not. But definitely should happen.
Well, it's interesting because like they've built up like a good relationship with indie developers now, and they have like long lasting relationships with the big developers from a long time ago. Not all of them, obviously, but it would be interesting to see like what they could do with that world. I'm sure it'd be very difficult and they won't do it, but it is interesting.
I mean, I think it'll be moot at a certain point anyway, because I think eventually, just like our laptops are eventually just going to be phones that we dock into larger displays. Like and the Switch is already a handheld that you dock to your TV. Like eventually our gaming computers are just going to be, it's just going to be our phone that we dock to a screen and a keyboard and a mouse, or maybe not even those peripherals anymore. Who knows? Like eventually we're just going to have like, what'd you say?
That's probably Nintendo's vision, right? Like actually, if you did keep beefing up the Switch, like, oh, it could just like, it's going to take up more battery and stuff like that. So maybe mobile, it doesn't actually get beefed that much, or like boosted that much. But like when you plug it in, maybe that thing is like running like a 1080 in there or something, you know, like if it has the power to do it, maybe then it just like unleashes in the long run.
Or maybe Nintendo ceases to exist at that point, and it's just you have your iPhone or whatever, or your Android equivalent or a Microsoft equivalent, and it's so mobile and so multi-capable between, you know, your device as a phone, your gaming device, your desktop PC device, that's just it. And then Nintendo and all other game console makers can't compete anymore, because it can just do everything and everybody just makes games for that. And then we've essentially got at that point what we just described for having Nintendo releasing games on PC and the Switch at the same time. All right, so I've got a question for you guys. How often do you check your news feeds on the Switch?
Probably every time I turn it on.
Yeah, Steven? More often than I should. I think like if I pick up the system and I'm like dead set on getting into a game and playing for 10-15 minutes, like I'll do that. But if I pick it up and I'm not in a rush, you know, I'm going through that news feed and like new releases on the store. And I don't know what about that makes it so like fun. And I mean, even something like the news feed is not always just like, hey, buy this new game. I really liked, like, they're doing two things with Mario and Zelda that I think are really cool. And they're like releasing weird little like snack content where like, hey, here's a weird thing that you may not have known you could do in Zelda. Oh, and if you open the game now, we'll just drop some food items in front of you to do that. And it's like this weird sense of interactivity between what would normally be to me like marketing garbage and like making it really fun and tying into the experiences of the game. So like, yeah.
I also check my news feed on my Switch every single time I power on the system. If there's a little glowing dot above that news feed, I'm checking that before I go anywhere else. So we're all in agree, but we all check our news feeds every time we power on the Switch. I realized this recently, and I find it kind of incredible, because the news feed is, as Stephen just alluded, essentially a big list of advertisements. And Nintendo has figured out a way to get us to compulsively check that and be excited about it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's not in your face, actually. Like, when you turn on, like, a PS4, you've got, like, a feed of, like, your friends' activity and stuff, like, right there. That always bothered me, actually, and I was kind of, like, not into the fact that the Switch had something that was anything similar. That being said, they deliver value with it, right? It's like, original content that I'm not seeing anywhere else, so that makes it valuable to check there. And also the follow model, right? Like, I can choose basically what I'm seeing in there, and I do feel like I have a good amount of control over it, and therefore it's relevant to what I want because I've put minimal time into curating it.
So doing a quick cross comparison here, I as a predominantly Xbox player for nearly a decade, between the 360 and the Xbox One, I saw Microsoft struggle with this for the majority of that time frame, where they kept encroaching into what I considered, and what almost everybody considered, their personal space on their console, with advertisements and, like, news and just other content that was fed to you and you had no choice. And people kept complaining about it, and they kept revising it, but it was always the same thing. There was always at least one significant portion of your main screen on your Xbox whenever you launched it that was dedicated to essentially advertisements, like promotions for new games or sales or news about Microsoft or whatever. And everybody hated it. Nobody wanted it. Same thing for Steam, pretty much. Like, the landing page for Steam kind of is the store. Obviously, you can open up Steam to any arbitrary section if you right click on it. But what you can't avoid is that every time you launch Steam cold, you get some advertisements in your face. Like, hey, check out these games that are on sale right now, or check out this new release. It's a pop-up. It's annoying. Coming back around, one of the things that may distinguish the Switch's system from those is what you already kind of touched on, Charlie, is that it's not in your face. It's down in the bottom of the screen, hidden behind an icon that just has a little bitty dot on it that glows if there's new things. That's it. It's totally up to you whether you open that or not. And then the step beyond that is also, as you said, you can control what you see. You opt into things. You don't have to opt out of things. You opt into everything. Nintendo says, hey, here's the games that you can put into your news feed, or even a collection of related news, like with the Nindies that aired yesterday. Nintendo revealed a new channel for the news feed that's specifically for indie games, that just brings you indie game news. I couldn't open up my Switch fast enough to subscribe to that new indies channel whenever they mentioned it. It wasn't even available yet. I was disappointed whenever the video was airing and they were like, hey, check out our new indie news feed or channel in the news feed, and I opened them my Switch and it wasn't available yet. Like, that's just mind-boggling to me.
I think it comes down a lot to this, like, idea of, like, push or pull engagement. So in the case of Steam, they're pushing you information, right? Like, I'm trying to open Steam, my intention is to open Steam and probably launch a game, but Steam decides I'm going to push you additional information in between your intention and the action that you're intending on taking. Nintendo relies on a pull mentality, right? Like, I want to find out about new games, so I go into the store. I want to see what news happened, so I go into the news section. It's like, it's always driven by my intent. And because of that, like what we were saying before, it's like, it doesn't feel like ads. It is ads. It's all advertisements. But to us, it feels much better because we're trying to derive value because we're going in there and intentionally trying to get that value. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is almost a throwaway content. So Charlie, I'll give you a good bit of pause if edited out. But yeah, I think one of the reasons I became, like, more interested in checking that was I bought a Switch pretty early on in its life cycle. And I remember for the first while, you know, I had Zelda, I bought that immediately. But then it was like, there weren't many games to play. And I kind of was in this situation of, like, I wasn't reading a lot of, like, internet gaming journalism around the Switch. Obviously there was a lot, but, like, the only way for me to really find out when, like, new games or interesting games came out were in those, you know, few minutes I had after work or, you know, between things on the weekend, where, like, like I could pop into that news feed, see like, oh cool, this game came out, it looks right up my alley, I'm gonna check it out. And like it was never like, it never, like you guys were saying, it never felt forced on me. It was something where I was like, I would like play a new game, or I would like buy a new game, and I love the experience of the Switch and like what its form factor allows, so I want to find out more of what's going on there. Like I am going to find that out, pull that information to me, which is really a great idea on Nintendo's part.
And okay, maybe it also makes sense right here to talk a little bit about just the system UI again in general. In the previous episode from last year, like the main theme was basically they kept this thing bare bones. The whole interface for the entire Switch is just like the most minimal. The most minimal information you'd need to accomplish the goals that you're trying to take care of. It's not like a feature-rich operating system, but what I believe is that is generally a beneficial way to approach an operating system that's mainly mobile and meant to be fast, right? The thing is extremely fast. It's extremely responsive, and it does the things I basically need it to do. People complain about a lot of things, like it doesn't have a lot of themes. It doesn't have like folders to do stuff. But in my mind, it does the bare minimum that it needs to, and therefore it's very successful. Do you guys feel same, differently?
Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned, well, not funny at all, that the UI is so minimal, but that's what makes it good, because the PlayStation, since the PS2, or I guess the PS3 actually, PSP, PS3, the PlayStation family of systems interfaces have been derided for being overly simplistic and not evolving really at all. They made their user interface on the PSP, and it made sense for the PSP because it was a handheld system. And then they took it to the PS3, where it didn't make any sense because the PS3 was a console system that you have on your TV. It's a big screen, and you have like a proper controller in hand to navigate it. But I don't think the full story is necessarily that, you know, the Switch is mobile, the PSP was mobile, so therefore those interfaces made sense for those systems. I think a simplistic system could work just as well on a console too if it gave you the right content. The Switch puts the games front and center, yep, with very little distraction. It puts everything else down below in smaller icons, and your games are big and center on the screen, and they're ordered automatically. You don't have to fuss with like reorganizing them yourself. Just whatever you most recently played is the closest to the left, and so on down the line. And you don't have to think about it. Most of the time when you're powering on the system, you're wanting to play a game. There, bam, here's the game. It's right here. You don't have to look around. They're right in front of your face. Can't miss them. And the PlayStation's interface is not like that at all. You have to look for your games. And there's folders and like online stuff and apps and all this other crap cluttered in between your games. And it's a mess. And Nintendo, just being Nintendo, was like, what do people want? They want games. All right, here's the games.
Yeah. To me, it was just very refreshing because like not having a mix of concepts, right? Like I don't see a lot of friend information in there. I don't see a lot of like apps in there. I don't see, yeah, these different things. It's like, it's just the games. The games are available to play, and here they are in front of you. And that's so clear-headed in this world where we're constantly seeing things that are meant to distract us. And I think that people probably respond to that much more than they actually intellectualize.
I have one final question. Are Apple secretly helping Nintendo? Go.
Why do you suspect that?
So this is out of left field to you guys then.
I could see the argument because yeah, I mean, like if I had like the spare moment gaming that I've done the last few years prior to the Switch was on my iPhone. Like I didn't have any other like mobile consoles. I didn't have a PSP. I didn't have the last few iterations of DSs or anything like that. Like it was on my iPhone. But I think that yeah, the gap that Nintendo's bridged is like they've brought pretty much that relative form factor. I can't fit the Switch in any of my pants pockets, but it's close enough. But like I can play full games on, and that's like nuts. Like it's not like a little game that, you know, I paid up to $10 for and it's fun, but it's pretty basic or minimal. Like this is a full game. Like I can find basic ones. Like I could play Picross, or I can play Hex Logic and have fun playing a cool little puzzle game that could be released for something like the iPhone. But like just having that portability is really enticing for any type game, and being able to play any type of gaming and feeling like, oh, this is what I feel like playing now is fantastic.
From the design perspective, I think there is a lot of themes to the Switch that are themes to Nintendo's design, right? Like sometimes, like from the interface, Apple tries to keep it as simple as possible. Nintendo tried to keep it as simple as possible. From the like technology side, this thing is fast and seemingly impossible hardware-wise, right? It's pretty damn small. The hardware seems pretty tight. tight. It doesn't seem like it's easy to break. The screen is really good. It just pretty much works. So that's like also very close to like Apple mentality. The hardware is on point here. And that's surprising to me, particularly because Nintendo Wii U hardware felt like some of the like the Nintendo 2DS always felt, well, I guess that was actually pretty durable too, but I don't know. Nintendo's hardware has been kind of all over the place for the past couple of years, like probably from the Wii generation on. And this was just like, wow, this thing is just a little screen and you can plug different controllers into it and it works really well. Like very surprising on the hardware front. That being said, I'm not sure. I think I remember reading something at some point that disproved this, but I would guess that Google is actually closer to helping Nintendo, because from what I gathered, I mean, the operating system feels very Android-y, and it would make sense to me that they forked a version of Android to be like the back-end OS. I don't know if they wrote an entire OS. That seems crazy to me if they did, but I don't know what the machine is running for its OS, and I could imagine a world where they forked Android, skinned it, and then that's how they had a full working OS that is responsive, turns on immediately, does all these things that you would expect a phone to do. But yeah, you have to, I mean, like big companies like Apple, Google have been writing this OS for a decade or so, and Nintendo just like was like, oh, here it is, here's an OS, works great.
I also have a hard time believing it. Nintendo have amazing designers and developers working with them, no doubt about it. They've made all the operating systems across all Nintendo consoles have been like top tier. But yeah, like you said, they came out of nowhere with this completely mobile operating system running high-end games and super responsive, way more responsive than the DS. The hardware is kind of crazy. And yeah, I don't know. This was kind of like a silly, like fun question, but part of me also kind of wonders maybe they got some help from somebody. And the reason why I said Apple, you know, there were those rumors years ago that Apple was going to buy Nintendo, that Nintendo were going to be the new Pixar, basically, in the Apple-Pixar relationship. And this is where you put your tinfoil hats on. Right after I got the Switch, I posted a tweet from the Twitter integration in the Switch. And when I checked it on the web, it said, posted from Safari.
That is
interesting. That doesn't mean anything, but I was like, what?
I think it's definitely Nintendo had Apple secretly develop this OS. Just kidding. But it is a WebKit browser, more than likely, based on that information.
yeah, more than likely, just a WebKit browser.
Steven, final thought. What's your number one recommended game on Switch?
Oh, God. That's really tough. Let me look at my library.
Okay. How about we all recommend one? Nathan, you got anything on your mind?
Where's my Switch at? I am going to go ahead and just recommend, I mentioned it earlier, but Enter the Gungeon. It just got a really big, really free update not too long ago that's packaged with its Switch version. It was on sale, and I don't think it's on sale anymore, but I still think it's only like 10, 15 bucks on the Switch store, and it's a super, super fun game if you love like Twitch control, like twin stick shooters, dodge rolling, and roguelikes where you go into a dungeon and try to get as far as you can without dying. And if you die, you restart. Super fun. It's a perfect game for Switch. Really great pixel art. Pick up and put down whenever you want game. It's great.
Cool.
You got one?
I do.
Go for it.
So I think my pick for great recommendation currently as a grown 30-year-old man would be Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. Because in terms of like pick up, put down, but like still replayable for the same levels, just to feel like I got every little bit out of those fun, adorable little cube spaces is really fulfilling, and it makes me happy.
Can't argue with that.
Charlie, what's yours?
Okay, I'm gonna cheat and do two, but one is like not really, I'll just explain. Like if you buy a Switch, you just have to play Breath of the Wild on it, right? Like this is like the experience of the Switch at its core level, because Breath of the Wild feels like this big, rich, full game that's very Nintendo, and you can play it anywhere. So you just have to play that game and you have to experience it, because I think it defines what the Switch can be in a lot of ways. It takes advantage of the hardware in a way that it's a very performant game. It you don't have any sort of compromise because of the graphic style they chose, etc. So I think you just got to play Breath of the Wild, end of story. That's my number one recommendation. But to keep it interesting, I would say that another launch title, which I don't think gets the credit deserves, is Blaster Master Zero. It is a good game. I've played it through completely. I love it. It's a Blaster Master game. It's a remake of the original Blaster Master, but it's a complete remake. The levels are all different. It's just thematically the same. And it's really good. It got me excited about maybe playing more Metroidvania style games, because it's not been a genre that I've ever much participated in. But it was very exciting to me as like an entry point. So
Charlie, you were thinking about speedrunning Blaster Master Zero at one point, were you not?
I still am, but I have to unlock the mode that I want to speedrun it in, which requires 100% completion of the game. And I still have not succeeded at doing that, because the game is actually very difficult and henceforth discouraging.
Maybe I ask because maybe speedrunning is a thing that we'll talk about on this podcast at some point.
That is a good segue to maybe the next episode or one thereafter. All right. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Games UX. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Nathan. And we'll be back next week at the same time. So you can follow us on Twitter, games_UX, or we have a website, which is games-ux.com. So thank you very much, and check you later.